For joining us on the last hour of the Morning Crossfire. It's about 6 minutes inside the hour of eight on a Tuesday morning. How are you doing? It's been a wet day in the city of Lagos this morning. I stepped outside and I saw rain falling. That means you have to dress for the weather. You never know. Maybe it's going to subside. Maybe not. Just be ready for the weather. Again, take weather predictions very seriously. If you're watching on Facebook or on YouTube, you're welcome. Nigeria Info 99.3 is the address on Facebook and on YouTube. Thank you for joining us. So let's talk about Twitter suspension in Nigeria this morning. It's a pleasure to have you join this conversation. Listen, the Twitter ban has become a multi-million dollar economic headache for Nigeria. Whether you're affected or directly or indirectly, or you're not affected at all, trust me, it's a multi-million dollar headache for everybody. Brands, individuals, young people, businesses, they are feeling it. It can't be the same. No, it can't. No matter how people are accessing Twitter right now, it cannot be the same. Now, the ban has also hit entrepreneurs and vendors who are able to gain visibility through social media campaigns and viral tweets. Businesses are suffering. The media is suffering this. Young people, tech startups, techpreneurs, everybody is feeling the brunt of this Twitter suspension. But let's go back a little bit. Nigeria shut down Twitter. In fact, it came into effect on June 5, following Twitter's removal of President Muhammadu Buhari's tweet on June 2nd, which it claimed was in violation of the Twitter rules. But then the presidency has insisted that the ban has nothing to do with that particular action of Twitter. Well, PMB's tweet referred to the 1967 to 1970 civil war, during which he served in the Nigerian army as a battle of southeastern secessionists at the den. Now, talking about the modern-day secessionists in the same region, he said he would, quote, treat them in the language they understand, end quote. Now, this tweet was reported by Twitter users. And then Twitter, going by the rules of their community, took action. Then we had the ban. And then Lai Mohammed, the Minister of Information, said no, the ban had nothing to do with that. They cited Twitter's Jack Dorsey's support obvious support for hashtag NSAS protest. They cited a couple of other instances that prompted them to, you know, meet out the ban. Or suspension, if you like, whichever one you want to look at it from. Now, we're going to go into this conversation because I have young people on the show this morning who are techpreneurs who deal, you know, directly with activities on Twitter. I have Wale Adetono. He's a digital marketing strategist. He joins us via Skype this morning. Wale, good morning to you, Wale.
Good morning, Sheriff. Good morning, listeners. How are you doing? How are you doing this morning?
Very well. I'm doing okay. I'm doing pretty well. Kolakpo Oladapo is the head technology and strategy at Cloud Africa. Kolakpo joins us live in the studio. Kolakpo, morning to you.
Thank you for finally having me, Sheriff.
It's good to finally have you. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me on this conversation. Now, for all techpreneurs who are listening to this show this morning, for all tech savvy minds, male, females alike, please join us in this conversation. Calling, let's have a very robust conversation on the Twitter ban. Kolakpo, I'm going to start with you about when the suspension was announced. How did that hit you? How did you process it?
I would say it was expected, but okay. I didn't expect it to last this long.
Oh.
Yeah, because as much as I am a techpreneur and I'm also a Nigerian at the end of the day, and I kind of understand the sense of things when it comes to the relationship between over time, the Nigerian government and the media. And the Nigerian government itself and governments all over the world have always had this ominous relationship with the media. And it's not just, it's just that the media has become for lack of a better word, social. It has become a socialist kind of movement now, where it's, you know, accessible all over the world. Anybody can say anything anywhere. So the problem, not problem, the challenge is not particularly with, you know, Twitter as a platform, or Facebook or WhatsApp or any of this platform. It's with the information side and the censorship side of these platforms, and governments all over the world, including the best and the
most civilized,
governments have always had these issues.
Yeah.
And in Nigeria, if you look back, you see incidences like with Dele Giwa, you know, information as well, and other, you know, pressmen over time. And you see even with the Press Index rankings, we are 120 in the world, and you know, that says a lot. And I think when it comes to the approach of government in engaging this, I think we've been doing the same thing the same way for a long time, looking for different results, and this has, you know, kind of eaten into the public trust investment that the government has in the country. So and we have this approach in this country where it's penalty first.
Yeah.
If you do this, we ban you. If you do this, we imprison you.
Yeah.
And it kind of creates a kind of blowback from the public. Whether it's in Nigeria, whether it's in the US, there's a blowback. Everybody's alt-right, or you have this platform. Okay, if you chase us away from Twitter, we'll go to Parler, or we'll go to, you know, any of these other platforms. So it's always the relationship with, between the government.
Yeah.
And information dissemination. It's not really social media itself. It's been long coming.
Indeed. Wally, let me come to you. I want to get your thoughts on the insistence of the government of the day that social media must be regulated. What's your thought on that? What's your position about social media being regulated?
Okay, yeah, thank you, Sheriff. Yeah, so talking about social media regulation, I know this is a conversation that has been brought to the table several times by the Nigerian government. I remember when this when the news broke about the Nigerian government trying to regulate social media and all of that, right? But I one thing I think we should focus on more is the appropriateness on the use of social media. We should look at it from the positive standpoint. What really is the use of social media? What are Nigerians or Nigerian youth been using social media for? Twitter in particular is a platform that majority of Nigerian youths leverage for promotion of their small businesses. It's also a platform where digital marketers like myself help brands to disseminate their messages.
That's
I mean, make some cool cash, right? Although Twitter as a social media platform is ranked fifth most used platform in Nigeria, behind WhatsApp, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, right? But because of the viral nature of the micro blogging platform, the viral nature is unrivaled, right? I mean, how quickly tweet and engagement, I can get engagement and sometimes turn into a national trending issue. I remember the case of the kidnapped lady, now what's her name, in Uyo, Ine
Umorin,
where Twitter users were able to fish out the kidnapper, even before the Nigerian police could act. I mean, that is a positive use of, good use of social media for good. Twitter is also a platform that's been very helpful for raising awareness for social causes in Nigeria. Talk about crowdfunding, raising alarm for police harassment and brutality and all of that, right? So if you're talking about social media censorship or regulation,
yeah,
we also need to look at the cons, right? If you do all of this, gauge the media, what other channel do it? It's like the only voice we have in, I mean, as a society. So I really, this is an appeal to the federal government and stakeholders, I mean, that's been having this thought. We should balance our perspectives, in as much as the government is trying to I don't know what the motive is, but they should also try to consider the cons, I mean, the adverse effects of this act.
Kalagbo.
All right. So when it comes to social media, and I'm going to like cast a wide net now, because Twitter is what we're talking about specifically.
Right.
But I'm going to speak generally first. So when it comes to, the problem has always been how people use tools. The problem is never with the tool itself, because the same gun police used to enforce law is the same gun armed robbers used to, you know, rob people.
Right.
So the problem has never been with the tool itself. It's how people use it. So a lot of people won't believe this, but I'm going to speak on the side of the government now.
Okay.
In the sense that they are some rules on social media, for instance, that don't make sense to me as a person.
Okay.
For instance, if you go to Facebook, under their community standards, under adult nudity and sexual activity, under that, you have a section that says, under sexual activity, it says that you can, sorry, under real nude adults, where nudity is defined, you have something that says that if you Photoshop the anal cavity, or you know, on someone's face, as long as you know it's a public figure, it's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah, it reads specifically, visible anal cavity / or fully nude close-ups of Botox unless photoshopped on a public figure. So that as a hint, I don't think there's any positive thing that can come out from photoshopping someone's Botox or anal cavity on someone's face.
I mean, why would you do that?
Exactly. Yeah. But it's under the rules that is supported by Facebook as a platform. So these are kind of the rules that I feel like the government can engage and localize, because that can cause a riot in Nigeria. Imagine if, for instance, they photoshop that on somebody's face, like a religious leader or somewhere that is already volatile. That has, and there's a case study for Myanmar, for instance, which is Burma, which is also Burma.
That's right.
Which is a mostly Buddhist country. Now, the case study for that is, in 2015, only 1% of Burma was active on the internet. This is a 52 million population country. So that's 520,000 people, right? And now, it grew really fast once they came to have a quasi, you know, military kind of democracy government. Yeah. And it had 18 million users of the internet in that country. Do you know, in Myanmar, the Facebook and internet is synonymous, because Facebook came in there free, right? So you could use Facebook for free. You can't post pictures, but you can kind of use it for free. Yeah. And that was kind of like their first thing when it comes to internet.
Right.
Now, in the same Myanmar, you have hate groups against the Rohingya Muslims, right? That's right. And 25,000 people were killed. And how did this start? Facebook platforms spreading different fake news about Muslims in there, right? And these kinds of things basically cause damage, right?
And that was done via Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook played a part in that, and Mark Zuckerberg was also called to Congress to, you know, address those issues. Do you know, as at 2015, it was only four moderators for content that were managing. They were managing 512,000 people on the platform. Can four people?
Just four.
Four, and two of them were outsourced, and they didn't get people who understand Burmese, which is the official language there, until 2015. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I'm with
so
you.
So
the social media platforms themselves need to do more.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is, it's not all the fault of Lai Mohammed
government.
Or the government. Mm-hmm. There are some of these rules, some of these lackadaisical effects that lead to actual deaths of people, right?
Mm.
That these things causing. There was even a news posted by a guy called the Time magazine called the Bin Laden. The Burmese Bin Laden, where he posted that a Buddhist employer raped a Muslim employee, and that just caused, you know,
another round of violence.
Exactly, and this was posted on Facebook itself. So these are really talking points. How many people, like a question I would ask, for instance, and they also find out like other issues where. People were posting hate speech in their local languages, right? If I post hate speech in Yoruba, for instance, in Nigeria, right? How is Facebook monitoring that? If I post hate speech on Twitter, right? We need clarity on how the government would need clarity. For instance, even if I'm a government official, you know, an administration is an administration and government is government.
That's
I would
right.
need clarity. How many people are watching the social media platform? If somebody, it may be the government today, it may be you tomorrow.
That's right. Do you think the social media platform themselves need to do more in terms of sanitizing their platforms and taking responsibility, as Kolakwa said?
I agree with Kolakwa. Yeah, so I remember 2015, is it 2016 now, when Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg was summoned by the US Senate about data privacy and data usage and all of that. So, I mean, imagine if that had happened in Nigeria and Twitter or Facebook, I mean, were summoned by the government. I can imagine how the people would have reacted. But looking at it from the bright on, from the government perspective, these are issues that actually raise concerns, right? As a user, I want to know how you are handling my data. I want to know what you are doing to censor content that are really not appropriate. Although these platforms have some existing regulations in place, whereby okay, say, take for instance when you're signing up, if you are less than 18, right, you can't log on to the platform. When you log on, there are some certain things you can't post. So even take Twitter for instance, if you post some sort of notes, Twitter is going to flag content, right? Even to before it gets posted. So there are some other things that. So I remember a point in time when Twitter started suspending accounts in Nigeria, and people were like, I mean, people started guessing because some of these things are not even written in any book for anybody to make reference to. So sometimes doing words like mother. Your tweet, don't use words like kill, don't use words like gone.
You know what? Let's quickly take a quick break. Kolakwa, please stay with me. We'll be right back in a moment.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Lagos, welcome back to the second half of the Morning Crossfire. We're broadcasting live from Etimi and Crescent Victoria Island, Lagos, Nigeria. I am Sheriff Quadri. Kolakwa and Wale, both techpreneurs, are joining me on the show. Kolakwa is live in the studio. Wale is on Skype. You can watch on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. That's how you can join us on those two platforms. Feel free, let us know what you think about the Twitter suspension. It's going into 11 weeks already right now. If you are a techpreneur, let us know how this is affecting you. And please call us now, 0700-993-993-993. That is 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. That is 01465-7190 for the female callers only. We have a call that we're processing right now. But Wale, before the break, you were trying to give us your submission on the social media regulation and the roles of the platforms themselves. Let's have you conclude your thought on that before we get on into Twitter conversation proper.
Thank you, Sheriff. Yeah, welcome back. Yeah, so I said the Cambridge Analytica saga, which involved Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook and the U.S. Congress, which probed him into about how they use data of their customers. There was a report of Facebook selling data for election purposes and all of that. So the point is, these platforms, like Colapo said, have their own part of the blame also. They need to have laid down regulations as to how users, interact on the platform. Although some of these policies are well documented on their platform, especially when you're signing up,
right,
and in their privacy policy documentations and all that. But sometimes people don't even read all of this. And so apart from the platforms doing their own part, the onus is also on the users to read and ensure they follow strictly and comply with all of these regulations.
Let's speak with Akin. It's Johnny Osomikeja. Akin, good morning to you.
Good morning, brother.
Morning.
Yeah. I'm not a tech. You know, I just want to speak as a user.
Okay.
Can I go ahead?
Yes, go on, please, Akin. Go on.
Yes. The Twitter suspension has really taken a very big toll on us, as in, like, for me, what I use Twitter for is actually, like, most of the time, all these telcos and, you know, these guys care. Customer care lines, I usually find it easier, you know, talking to them on DM on Twitter. But since that suspension,
yeah,
I've actually missed that a lot because I use Twitter for official purposes, really. So I think they should just bring it back.
Okay.
For some of us. So even if they're going to have some policies on it, let them state it. Then, you know, we just have to get back there.
Right.
Yeah.
Akin, thank you. Thank you for calling in. Appreciate it. Before we get to the telephone, gentlemen, let's dive in now. Let's talk about Twitter suspension. Colapo, I'm going to start with you. How has it affected techpreneurs and businesses?
I think anything that has to do with the engagement of any business with its customers.
Yeah.
Right? If that communication is cut off in any way, given the, you know, different ways that we have, it's going to affect any business, whether small or big, adversely.
Mm-hmm.
You can see Akin talking about the customer side of things.
That's right.
The customer care
that's
side
right.
of things. So even our big boys, the telcos with the yellow colors and the red colors, they will feel it because they will sell less bundles because, you know, people use, you know, who are heavy users of these platforms will not even see the reason to, you know, go on, you know, buy a big bundle because, you know, you have to go through, you know, VPNs or other routes.
And people really have said that that can be quite stressful.
Exactly,
sometimes.
because it's stressful, and not just stressful, it's illegal. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you can compromise your data going through that. So looking at the numbers, for instance, now you have A4AI, which is Alliance for Affordable Internet, putting as at June the loss from the Twitter ban at $1.2 billion.
What?
Yes.
As at June.
Yes. This is a
did
cut.
You say billion or million?
$1 billion. Right. They are estimating like it's going to, you know, be that.
Yeah.
Right? That's to Nigeria.
What?
Yes, and obviously to Twitter as well. NetBlocks puts it at $250,000 per hour. That's 102.5 million naira as at June, when the ban was announced, and 2.5 billion naira daily.
My
and
God.
On SMEs, medium scale enterprises, and e-commerce markets, the 3 days loss was estimated at about $12 billion, which is shared both ways.
In 3 days?
Yes. This is a court article from back then in June when it was announced. Now, you look at the scale of all of this and it kind of gives you perspective as to what are we really fighting for? Do you know what I'm saying? Whether it's government, whether it's Twitter, at the end of the day.
This is a whole economy we're
exactly.
talking about.
So this is just Twitter, by the way. Imagine, you know, Facebooks and WhatsApp, and because these are also platforms we use for businesses as well. So when we look at the impact of this, we should not we should not be losing so much for, you know, a tweet is about 8 bits. If you're not tweeting a picture or a video, it's about 8 bits.
And we're losing this much.
Exactly, because of what? So I think when you look at the economic implications of it, I think this ban, and we are in a recession in a pandemic. So it's really not a good business plan. But in the same vein, I think the government, to be on the side of the people, to engage people in not a a punishment first approach, right? Where you say if you use this platform, you go to prison, or you do this or you do that. That's not the way. We have town halls, polls that we can use to engage people. How can Twitter be better for you as a business, as an individual, right? And then we can now go forward as a united front, as governments, where, regardless of what your motives are, and form policies that are localized, right? While he was speaking about 18-year-olds not to be, not, you know, being able to access, we know that's not the reality. If a 12-year-old wants to go online and access adult content, they know how to do it, right? They know how to do it, and that stems from the lackadaisical approach of these platforms. You know, you can really control it 100%, but we can do better.
We can
as
do
a
it
collective
a lot more, right.
Not that, you know, government is on one side and the people are on one side and everybody is kind of sending different messages.
Let me talk to Wale on the economic implication of this ban thus far, 11 weeks into it. And Wale, you are a digital marketing strategist yourself. How has this impacted your business?
Okay, so let me start this by saying the ban of Twitter by the federal government of Nigeria, for lack of a better word, is quite shameful, especially coming at a point when the country's unemployment rate increased from 27.1% to about, I think, 33.3% at the end of Q4 of 2020. That's data according to Nigeria Bureau of Statistics released earlier this year, right? Although, ever since the ban, we've had brands, individuals, and some corporate organizations move to other platforms like Facebook and Instagram, then to advertise their business and all of that. Individuals also have started using VPN at a cost, which is, I mean, sometimes very stressful.
That's right.
Like the caller said also, banks, I mean, can no longer even social Twitter for customer engagement, right? The ban, especially as it entrepreneurs, digital marketers, even vendors that use the platform for to gain visibility, and influencers that use the platform. I mean, they've built career those running campaigns for brands. So according to a data from Cult Africa, which is similar to what Colapo just quoted, Nigeria is ranked third in terms of countries that are worst affected by internet shutdowns. That's after India and I think Myanmar, right? Ever since that ban, there's a report $367 million
that's
gone down the drain. I mean, that's the country. That's and affected people, about 104 million people. Right. I mean, affected directly or indirectly because of this ban. So when governments want to make all of these decisions, they also need to look at it from the economic point of view, right? But anyways, one thing you can take away from Nigerians is our resilient nature. I mean, forget the fact that we have leadership problems and all of that.
Yeah.
Nigerians are smart, diligent, and hardworking people.
What are your colleagues saying, techpreneurs who do mainly their businesses online, that is their job? What are they saying to you?
Well, when things like this happen, like I said, Nigerians always find a way to adapt. So the first thing first is to find a way to bypass the ban by using VPN, right? So talking about revenue, some people started moving to other platforms. I mean, some people that don't have a voice on Instagram, some that don't have voices on LinkedIn, started developing their profiles and, I mean, positioning themselves for brands to reach out to them on those platforms. On the other hand, however, you still have some brands that still try to circumvent the ban. Like they make use of influencers as a third voice, third party. I mean, to still broadcast their campaigns by not. I mean, although they don't get directly involved.
Yeah.
So it's not business as usual, right? But there's still some ways around it. People still run campaigns. So some other people, for instance, started positioning for international gigs, right? So by the virtue of using VPN, tweets from Nigerians started going viral in other countries like the Netherlands, UK, and US. I've seen some of my tweets that people have sent to me from UK and Netherlands and saying, your tweet is trending on our table and all of that. And times like that, you see brands coming to you to come and tweet on their behalf because your tweets are being seen in their own country, region as usual. I mean, as because of the VPN you're using. So sometimes these things also tend to bring some kind of potentials that you don't even know that you've had before. You don't know that VPN can even make your tweets go much more viral than it's always been. So those are some of the things that's been done. The most affected people, however, remains the brands. I mean, or no matter how people try to circumvent, no brands would not want to test this Nigerian government. You don't know what they can do. So brands, however, are still shut down in that space. I've not really seen any serious brand come to Twitter to make any tweet ever since then.
Campaign.
But like I said, we always find constraints raised by this government. I remember when they banned cryptocurrency and all of that, people started using P2P. And now when the Twitter ban came into place, VPN, right? So I know one thing about Nigerians, we move, nature is there. I mean, whatever they do, we move and we find our ways around it. But our government needs to do better. Our people also, maybe it's time we start doing more to testing the power of the law in some cases. Maybe just put corporate bodies together. Corporate organizations also need to wake up, right? I know it's a tough thing to say. It's easy to say. It's a tough thing to do. It's very easy to say.
Yeah.
We need to sometimes test the power of the law in the court.
Kolapo?
I think we can be two things. This is to the government. We can either be Myanmar, which is heavily saturated with social media and misinformation, at least then, or we could be North Korea, which is closed off from the rest of the world and is using state-sponsored hackers to raise funds for itself, right? So in that middle, we can't be any of those. I don't want to live in any of those realities, right? So in striking that balance, it's two ways. The government needs to change its approach towards media, social or, you know, beyond, right? In engaging stakeholders to go forward to these platforms, to form policies, because there's really, when it comes to tech, I'm a developer myself.
Yeah.
Everything is possible. So you can't really lock anything down for real. When Kim Jong-un was losing weight, we knew, even though, you know, North Korea is closed off.
Yeah.
When he, you know, tests a missile or does this or does that, we know.
Yeah.
You get at the end of the day. So information has gone beyond the grasp of any single government, right? So we need to go to and for the, you know, platforms themselves, Twitter, Facebook, WhatsApp, whatever it is, they need to localize their policies to fit into
the communities they operate.
Exactly. And they need to answer questions like, how many Nigerians in Nigeria are moderating comments from Nigeria? I don't want a guy, you know, it doesn't make sense that a guy from Israel that went to Harvard is moderating tweets in Nigeria. What if somebody is doing hate speech in Yoruba?
In their local languages.
You get.
Yeah.
And Yoruba, one thing can mean 700 things.
That's right.
You get what I'm
That's
saying?
That's right.
As long as you don't put the intonation there, you don't really know what people are talking
about.
So
there's that concern for national security, really and genuinely.
Exactly.
And there is need to properly monitor it.
With policies.
With policies.
It's not with punishment first approaches or banning or imprisonment or this. It's with policies. Policies are the most diplomatic, the most professional ways To do all this on the side of the people and on the side of the government.
I'm going to go back to the telephone. Let's take a few more calls from the telephone. Let's see who is here. Please, when you're calling us, turn off the radio. It's very important that you do that. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-71904. The ladies, if you're calling, please go straight to the point. Christopher is joining us this morning from Ikoyi. Christopher, morning to you. Yes, please.
Kolakma and Wally, right?
Yes.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Jeff Quadri, like I always ask you, with the explanation these two young men are giving, so you want to tell me people in government, people like Lai Mohammed, they don't know all these things that these two young men are explaining? Jeff Quadri, I'm asking you. The other day, Lai Mohammed said in 3 or 4 days' time, they will open, they will lift back, right? I had it on your new radio now. Today, look at what color and what is the concept. I don't know why Nigerians never understand the body language of this government. They mean well for every one of us. I hear Wale now, oh, Nigerians are smart people, clever people. Then we allow this type of people to tussle us like a tennis football. They mean well for Nigerians, so we could be with them. Thank you.
Thank you, Christopher, for calling. Let's speak with Benjamin. Hi, Benjamin. Morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Morning to you.
Yeah, I have listened to this. It's unfortunate that we still have leaders who don't care about us, and we're still facing the same drama we're presently. All we know is that as time, as administration changes, definitely all things must change. And the time will come, power must change. And thank you. That is all I have to say.
Thank you, Benjamin, for calling. Appreciate it. Gentlemen, we must go now. But before we go, I'd like to just wrap up with this single question. How long can we bear this suspension? Let me start with you, Wally. How long do you think the young people, the brands, can hold on to this or obey this suspension?
Well, I really don't like sounding like an optimist. I mean, especially when it comes to Nigerian governments. For me, I've zeroed my mind. I've accepted this has come to stay. That's the worst that can happen. People have moved on. I mean, sometimes you even forget that there's a Twitter ban because you're used to using VPN. I really don't care. But I mean, whatever that comes, whatever the outcome might be. There was a time last week or so I heard them saying the ban might be over very soon. Twitter is coming to open office in Nigeria, which I doubt will ever happen, and all of that. To answer your question, Trace, I really don't know, and I'm not sure. I'm really concerned.
All right,
I'm concerned, but I don't care. That's, let me just put it that way.
All right, Kolapo, in two sentences, we're completely out of time.
Basically, I don't think it's going, because you know how many months ago I was optimistic.
Yeah.
But I think. I want to be a little optimistic more than Wally to say I see it ending soon, because at the end of the day, business is business.
All right. Kolapo, Wally, thank you for joining me on the show this morning. It's a pleasure. I'm Sheriff Quadri. My work is done.
This is an infomercial.
The Niger Shopping Festival brand deals has some official juicy brand deals you can find on Jumia. For example,
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria.